Hello, and welcome to the Bethesda podcast feed. It's here you can find all of our recorded services. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. We hope you enjoy.
Hallelujah. You would look in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 20. We're going to read a little bit from there today. 2 Chronicles 20. We'll read the first three verses and skip down then to verse 27. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. So Moab and Ammon, these are the children of Lot and his daughters. Very terrible situation. Always a thorn in the side of Israel. So the people of Moab and Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. Everybody say he was afraid. And set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea or Judah. Verse 27, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy. Because something had happened between verse 1 and verse 27. God had given them this terrific victory. They had just worshiped the Lord. It's an amazing story. But notice it says they went back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. So when the story starts, Jehoshaphat is afraid. When the story ends, his enemies were afraid, right? So I want to entitle this message, Giving the Devil a Taste of His Own Medicine. I just felt it all week to deal with fear this week, this Sunday. We're going to deal with fear. Fear is your enemy. But God will take the fear the enemy's put on you and put it on your enemy in Jesus' name. Giving the devil a taste of his own medicine. There's some folks, the devil's come against you and filled you with fear to the point that you are fearful. But God's going to give you a breakthrough today. It's going to turn around. It's going to change. Let's say a prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us to preach and to hear in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to start out addressing a concern somebody might already have in this message. Pastor, I don't know if the devil can ever be afraid. I mean, he's so big, bad, and ugly. He brings the fear. How can he be afraid? And that's fair. Scripture, however, presents the devil as a serpent. That's scary. A roaring lion. That's scary. A dragon. That's scary. But James 2:19, the half-brother of Jesus, says to the church, he said, you believe in one God, you do well, the devils believe also and tremble. Tremble sounds scared, doesn't it, to you? In the book of Daniel, there's this amazing story of this satanic king of Babylon. His name is Belshazzar. And Belshazzar, his name means to Baal protect the king. So he's got a false god, even in his name. He serves false gods. And he's blasphemed the one true and living God, ridiculed God's people, and he took the sacred vessels from the temple that his predecessor Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed, and he uses these cups and chalices and whatnot from God's house that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed. He uses these vessels to throw a party. These are the vessels. He's pouring some you know, some Jack and Coke and scotch and, you know, those kind of drinks, like in all these wine. I'm trying to be colorful here. He's not doing a good job. So he pours all this stuff in these vessels, and he's throwing a party because the children of Israel had fallen. And so he's having a party because they had been defeated, and he's rejoicing over them. It reminds me of Micah 7:8. He better beware, because rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And Belshazzar, all of a sudden, sees the handwriting on the wall. And that's not a figure of speech. It's literally, he sees the handwriting on the wall. A hand appears. I've got a Rembrandt rendering of this. Rembrandt, as we all know, was at this party, and he pulls out his easel and he starts painting away, and this is what he came up with. He saw the handwriting on the wall, and the Bible says that his knees, Belshazzar's knees, began to knock together. And pardon me, I'm sorry this is on TV, but that little baby dirtied his diaper, that king did, when he saw the handwriting on the wall. It sounds like he got scared, wouldn't you say? And I'm telling you that the devil has the ability to feel the same fear that you feel. And so when the devil reminds you of your past, you need to remind him of his future. And when the devil rejoices over your fall, you need to remind him, soon, devil, I'm going to watch and rejoice over your great fall. And when the devil says that you've ruined your good name because of the mistakes that you've made and all the problems you've had, you need to say, so what? My trust is not in my own name. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I trust in the name of the Lord my God. I know a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Give him a taste of his own medicine, because the devils believe in one God also, and they tremble. You need to remind him who you're trusting in. James said in 4:7, submit yourselves, your thoughts, your words, your ways unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. One translation says, in stark terror. The idea is he's afraid. His knees are knocking together. When you remind him of who you serve and who you belong to. Oh yeah, devil, you're big, bad, and ugly, but I know a name. There's one God, and it's not you. He's not you. And I'm going to tell you something. My trust is in him. And he's afraid. He's afraid. He trembles. He shakes. He gets the shakes. We had a snake in our garage yesterday. This morning I opened the garage door and another snake started trying to come in our garage. Our cat dies and the snakes are on the loose. And the reason I knew there was a snake in the garage is because I'm in the house and this is what I hear. Ah! I was on the phone. I'm like, I gotta go. I run in the garage and Valerie's got a shovel and there's a little tail of a snake just going like this. And she's like, he ran back there. That's a snake. She, you know what she was doing? Trembling. I would like to tell you that not me at all, zero. But that would probably not be true. I was a little amped up. I'm like, oh, there's a snake. I got to deal with a snake, you know. And then this morning, literally, I opened the garage, and there here comes a snake. I'm like, what is up? Oh. Tremble. The devil, when you remind him that you serve the one true and living God, the Bible says that he trembles. He trembles. He feels the same fear, that you feel when you're facing something that's terrorizing you. He feels that fear. He trembles. He trembles. When you turn to the Lord, when you call on his name, when you submit your thoughts, your ways, your words to God and cast your cares on the Lord, when you do that, essentially you're casting your fear on the devil. You're casting your cares on God and your fear is being transferred over here to the devil, giving the devil a taste of his own medicine. I felt this. Fear's unhealthy. You know that, right? You go to the doctor. They check your blood pressure. They check your blood work. They say to you, are you under some stress right now? Are you dealing with some stress? How do you know? Well, I can tell from your blood pressure, from your heart rate. I can tell from this blood work, your enzymes, all this stuff is telling me that you're dealing with some fear. University of Minnesota Center for Well-Being says this, that living under constant threat and serious fear, number one, affects your physical health, weakens your immune system, causes cardiovascular damage, gastrointestinal problems such as ulcers, IBS, decreased fertility. It can lead to accelerated aging and even premature death. It affects your memory. It can impair formation of long-term memories and cause damage to certain parts of your brain, such as your hippocampus. This can make it even more difficult to regulate fear and can leave a person anxious most of the time. It affects your brain processing and reactivity. It interrupts processes in our brains that allow us to regulate emotions, read nonverbal cues and other information presented to us, and it can hinder us from reflecting before we act, even can hinder our ability to act ethically, discerningly. It impacts our thinking, decision-making in negative ways. It leaves us susceptible to intense emotions, impulse reactions. All of these can affect us in a negative way. You know, I get under stress. You know what I want to do? Go buy a guitar. That's another story. Mental health. All kind of long-term fear, fatigue, clinical depression, PTSD. It affects us. Fear affects us. The Bible has a lot to say about fear. I mean, I got so many verses, I won't read them all, but Luke 12, do not worry about your life. Well, I gotta eat. I gotta wear some clothes. I mean, I need a place to stay. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, about your body, what you'll wear. Talks about how God takes care of the flowers of the field and the birds of the field. He'll take care of you. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 55, cast your cares on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them, these big bad dudes that are coming after you. Isaiah 41, I'm the Lord your God. I hold you by the hand. Don't fear. Do not be afraid. I'm with you. Psalm 46, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Psalm 118, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He's my helper. Proverbs 29, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Mark 4, he rebuked the wind and the waves. Peace be still, he said. And he said to his disciples, why were you so afraid? Do you have no faith? Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. 1 Peter 3, Psalm 34, Isaiah 41, do not fear. 56 of Psalm of the Psalms, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Philippians 4:6, I've already quoted it. John 14, 2 Timothy, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Are you with me? Psalm 94, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Isaiah 43, Proverbs 12, Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Joshua 1:9, Matthew 6, Isaiah 35, on and on and on. The Lord doesn't want his people to be smothered by fear and anxiety. The word anxious comes from two words. And those two words mean to fear and to choke. I was digging around on this, and I was reading a paper that had been presented, and it was on, listen to this, the National Institute of Health's National Health Library. And it's this deep dive on the original languages and their use in diagnosing mental health issues. And it basically said the cure for anxiety is logos. Now, I thought I was reading a theological commentary, but this was a .gov website. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, the Lord said, let your requests be made known unto God. Logos, that's the plan of God. That's the word. That's the Lord. That's the idea. The cure for fear is putting your attention on the Lord instead of what is causing you to be afraid. You can't fulfill your calling and destiny when you can't breathe because you're being choked out by fear. You become paralyzed. I want to help somebody today. I'm telling you, I felt this so strong. You get stuck. You can't move because fear has paralyzed you. You freeze up. And the devil wants a church that's frozen up and can't do what God's called us to do. And so he does everything he can. All hell breaks loose and comes against us to shut us up and shut us down and keep us still and keep us paralyzed. But God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. I want to put my attention on God, on the Logos of God. Come on now. And breathe and move and have my being in him. Hallelujah. We've got places to go and we've got things to do. God's got a calling on our lives and we've got to deal with the fear that's trying to stop us and smother us. Amen? Everybody say, keep going. All right, thank you. Yeah. The guy in our reading, Jehoshaphat, he's Judah's fourth king. He's a good king. He was not perfect. He was a few years into his reign, and he made this bad alliance with the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom was governed by Ahab and Jezebel. They're bad actors. Man, they're bad players. And so he starts listening to them. Let me just say this right here. It matters who you hang out with. I'm a pastor. Sometimes I just slip into pastor mode. It matters who you hang out with. Come on, bad communication, evil communication corrupts good manners. I mean, you hang out with the wrong people, you're going to start listening to them. Old Jehoshaphat got a great idea. I'm going to get mentored by Ahab and Jezebel. Man, they got it going on. He starts talking to them like, here's what you need to do. And they give him some stupid advice that he listens to. You start listening to the wrong people, you'll do stupid things. You'll deal with trouble that you wouldn't have to deal with had you not been hanging out with those people. Hey, sometimes mom and dad were right. You don't need to hang out with that person. Anybody ever got that? You don't need to go out with that girl, son. But she's pretty. Oh, you don't need to go out with her. You stay away from her. You're not having the car tonight, son. That's good advice. This is 21st century. I'm in pastor mode. Let me help you. Parents, please be a parent to your children. Don't be their best friend. Be a parent. When you see danger, say, there's danger. You're not going there. Be that obstacle in the way. You go crawl over my dead body to make that happen, honey. That's not happening. You will save your children a lot of headache, a lot of trouble. If you'll be that parent. Well, there, old Jehoshaphat is hanging out with Ahab and Jezebel, and they give him some dumb advice, and he listens to them. But he had a pastor in his life, thank God. That pastor rebuked him, and He changed. He repented. Now, let me just say this. It says a lot about a person if they can take a rebuke or not. Y'all know I'm not like King Rebuker. That's not my thing, you know. I do not like confrontation, but I will confront. I don't like to rebuke, but I will rebuke. It's not my thing. Y'all know that's not my thing. Everybody say that's not his thing. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we need a good rebuke from a good pastor. Oh, my goodness. It says a lot about a pastor that refuses to rebuke when it's needed. Oh, it's getting quiet in this Episcopal church. A lot of times we'll get a rebuke and we don't like it, so we just go to another church and find another pastor. Until that pastor rebukes us, and then we go find another pastor, and on and on. You need a man of God in your life that can correct you. As a matter of fact, that's part of our job description, 2 Timothy. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. And that's good advice for pastors. Preach, please preach the word. Not your opinion, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's part of our job description. Your pastor is not an entertainer, a lecturer, a TED talker, a comedian. That pastor is a shepherd with a rod and a staff to rescue and to correct and to align. I want to try to do my rebuking, my correcting, my alignment from the pulpit, from preaching. But if that's not working, I say, hey, we need to meet up and talk. We need to have a meeting, guys. That's the idea. And so the Bible says in Psalm 119:71, David said that he said, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Sometimes an afflicting word hurts. But I'm going to tell you something. It's better than an afflicting situation that breaks out in your life, right? Because you didn't have that word. An afflicting experience that you have. Nathan the prophet saved David's life by calling out his hypocrisy. Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. My point is this, Jehoshaphat, are you with me? Isn't this exciting? So Jehoshaphat, we're talking about giving the devil a dose of his own medicine. So Jehoshaphat took the rebuke. The prophet said, don't hang out with Ahab and Jezebel. You listened to them and they were dumb. They gave you dumb advice. Don't do that. Stop it. And Jehoshaphat, it was called out and he repented and turned. And so the idea is this, from the book of Proverbs, what I just quoted to you, then he should prosper. But instead of prospering, here's what happened. The Moabites, Ammonites, Philistines, Edomites, and others surrounded Jerusalem and threatened to take everything that belonged to him. Now he just had course correct. He just repented. I'm so sorry, Lord. Forgive me, God. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord's like, I forgive you. And all of a sudden now, all these nations gather against him. And it's amazing. Everything's on the line. His calling, his destiny, his kingdom, everything. It's disturbing. It's devastating. And it's something that would cause you to be fearful, to be afraid. The devil's relentless. He never stops. I've said it many times, he's a good devil. He's awful, but he's good at what he does. He's relentless. And when we've just experienced some major progress in our walk with God. We've dealt with mistakes from our past. We've confessed our faults. And we have found our way. And we're off to the races. The devil will pull out all the stops. And he'll come at us with everything he has. And we're like, I just got my life together. And now this? Jehoshaphat got that phone call, you know? That news. I've got something to tell you. And the blood drained from his face, and he felt faint, and his legs got weak. Verse 3 of our reading says, when he heard the report, he became afraid. His confidence was shattered. Jehoshaphat put everything together, the implications, the scene was going to unfold in a way that was not pleasing to him. The effect on his family, his children, it was scary. And so this fear made him feel powerless. He was filled with fear. He was fearful. He's the king of God's people, but he's terrified. To be afraid is normal. And if you're dealing with fear today, you're not weird. You're dealing with something that has made you afraid. It's normal. But then Jehoshaphat is so cool. He just came clean with the Lord. He didn't try to fake the Lord out, because you can't do that. You know that. I mean, he didn't try to fake the Lord out and said, I believe. I'm not afraid. He came to the Lord and he literally said, I'm afraid. But he said this, he said, but I'm putting my eyes on you. It's as if he was looking at all these nations, the Ammonites, these are evil, wicked, vile people, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Philistines. He's looking at all of them. And he's like, oh, God. But instead of keeping his eyes there, he turned. And somehow, he looks towards the Lord. And he said, but I'm looking to you. The one that corrected me and I followed through. The one that, hey, I know I don't deserve to be here, Lord. I was listening to Ahab and Jezebel, but I turned. And now I've gotten here. All this is broken out. But I'm looking to you, God. I am falling on your mercy, God. I need some help. And the Lord said, this battle doesn't belong to you, Jehoshaphat. This battle belongs to me. I'm going to take care of these enemies that have come against you. And Jehoshaphat got this bright idea that we're going to just watch the Lord. And while the Lord is defeating the enemies, we're going to sing about his goodness and his mercy. As a matter of fact, he got his guitar out, no doubt, and he said, because he was stressed, so he got a new guitar, of course. And he pulls his guitar out and he starts to sing, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Hey, any more lyrics to that? No, I got writer's block, but I got that, and that's a good one. We're going to sing that over and over and over again. So then they get their instruments out and they turn and they just kind of face all the enemies. And they said, they're just looking over their heads really at the Lord, looking at all those. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. How discombobulating, how confusing this must have been to all these armies out there with their phalanxes and their configurations and all their armies and their guys marching and their leadership structure. These guys that have been through West Point and all these places and the Naval Academy, and they're out there all ready to go, man. They're lined up, and then here's the enemy they're coming against. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. For the Lord, and the more they sang, the more excited they got, and the Lord set ambushments and wiped them all out. It's just amazing. Listen, and at the end of the story, the fear that they felt, now those nations were afraid of them. They gave the devil a taste of his own medicine. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying. Listen, the Lord's been good to you. The Lord's been very good to you, and you've changed your attitude, and you've turned, you've been rebuked, you've taken it, you've repented, you've turned to the Lord, and you're now facing some new situations that you didn't ask for. I'm going to tell you, the same God that got you through the first time is going to get you through this time. He'll take you over. Put your thoughts and your attention on the Lord. Pay attention to the Lord. He is good. His mercy is everlasting. He's got you in the palm of His hand. He'll take care of that enemy. Give God some praise right now. Stand with me. Stand with me, please. You got to understand, Ammon and Moab and the Philistines, they got in a league together. They cut covenants, man. They signed treaties. It was an axis of evil. Let's go get those people. And they lined up to go get them. And they had to be happy. They're rejoicing because these yahoos are out here with guitars. They've got swords and spears and slings and machine guns and 50 calibers and tanks and airplanes and drones and they have guitars. And they're like, this is going to be easy, guys. I don't see any casualties on our side. If I was a betting, Vegas is saying this is 100-1. Or 100-0. 99-1. I don't know how they call odds. Aren't you thankful your pastor doesn't know how to call odds in Vegas? He's like, they're like, this is an easy one. We got this. And the Israelites are looking out there like, holy cow. Oh, God, we're looking to you. And the Lord said, I'm going to fight this for you. Jehoshaphat said, well, thank you, Lord, for the Lord is good. When the Lord tells you He's going to fight your battle, you need to say, for the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting. I didn't do anything to earn this, didn't deserve this, but the Lord is good. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that as you praise the Lord, it stills the avenger. As you praise the Lord, you start getting excited and loud. You start raising your voice, and the devil, your enemy, starts shutting down. They're like, oh, hey, what in the world? Ooh. And then the fear that was on Jehoshaphat, it got over here on those people, those nations. They were terrified. Oh, don't mess with those people. Isn't that what Rahab the harlot said? She said, we've been afraid of you guys for 40 flipping years. Been waiting on you to come our way. We've been afraid of you. And Israel's like, we can't go in there. There's giants. We can't go in there. There's walled cities. We can't go in there. And Rahab's like, our perspective was, here come the people of God. Here come the people of God. Here come the people of God. I want to encourage somebody. You need to give the devil a taste of his own medicine. Been cowering you, pulling you back. You've been holding back, scared. Would you close your eyes with me right now? Father, I thank you so much for your faithfulness, for your word. I thank you, God, for this encouraging word today, God. It comes from 2 Chronicles. Fear is rampant in our world, and fear is it's like faith is to God, fear is to our enemy. And He uses it as a vehicle to transfer His will into our lives and to see that it's done. But God, we're looking to You. Our faith is rising in the midst of a fearful situation because we're looking to You, Lord, and to Your Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we're trusting You. And God, as we put our trust in You, the fear is dissipating. Some of you, the Lord's going to dissipate that fear in your life today. Can I be so bold to say that? He's going to dissipate that fear in your life today. He's going to get you through this. And I just prophesy in the Holy Ghost, you've been facing stuff. You've been dealing with stuff that has, it literally has kept you from making moves that you know God called you to make, but because of fear, you've not made them. And those moves, those steps are the very steps that's going to take you to the next level where you've been praying to go. But the enemy just brought all hell against you to put fear in your heart so you wouldn't be bold enough to take the step. But God is about to remove the fear today. You're going to take the step, and that enemy that's been holding you back is going to start shaking. Even today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're ready to do some battle with fear, you want to get rid of the fear. You want to get rid of the, you're not going to do battle with fear. You're going to get rid of the fear today. I want you to step to this front. Come on all the way up. God's going to deliver us from fear today.
Thank you for joining us. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. You can also visit us in person at 15050 Daigle Road, Prairieville, Louisiana. Services are at 10 a.m. Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday.